Greetings, my friends. I'm just coming to say that I appreciate those of you who listen and support the radio broadcast. We are grateful for your support and words of encouragement. I'm coming to you at the end of this year to ask if you would consider giving a special gift to Anchored in Jesus Ministries. It would truly be a blessing to us. All the people who serve in this ministry are volunteers. Neither do I receive a salary. 100% of what you give to Anchored in Jesus goes to airtime for the radio broadcast. Let me share with you a brief statement from one of our listeners. Pastor Glaze, I listen to you on Word FM. Thank you for your faithfulness to God's Word. Your messages have been encouraging to me. So many times, just what the divine physician ordered to help me spiritually when I'm in need. Your latest messages have come just in time during a especially trying time in my life. May God continue to bless you, strengthen and encourage you. Your giving helps get this message out to our listeners. I would appreciate any help that you can give us at this year end. If you would like to make a financial contribution, you can go to anchoringinjesusministries.org, or you can contact us at Anchored in Jesus, P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Thank you for listening to Anchored in Jesus, and we would like to ask that you prayerfully consider blessing us with a financial gift during this season as we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of A Heavenly Tent in an Earthly Campground, Jesus is God in the Flesh. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of A Heavenly Tent in an Earthly Campground, Jesus is God in the Flesh.
I understand what's going on. And how did he know? He knew because he had confirmation. There was an angel that came to him and made everything all right. And so if Mary was lying just to save face, then here goes somebody right here, right there that could have went and got it straightened out. And so let me share his last argument on the virgin birth, and then I'm going to get to my message. See, what I'm trying to get us to see is this attack that's on the scripture and that's on Christ. In his final argument, he says this: we would never, ever believe this today. Imagine a teenage girl in your neighborhood who claimed to be pregnant and that God had pregnant her. Would you believe her, or would you think that she was lying? If she insisted on it being true, we would put her in a mental hospital, according to this individual. And so my response is, I would hope that before you put her in a mental hospital, that you would do what you said that you were going to do under point number one. And what is that? DNA, get a doctor, and then, you know, you would find out whether she was telling the truth or not. And so, my brothers and sisters, we can see that as Christians, we come here and we celebrate the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. That's why we have Christmas. But as you celebrate, keep in mind that there are attacks on the virgin birth. So let me move on to my message now. Why did Jesus pitch his tent among us? Why did God the Son come and live among us? As we look at the fact that he is the incarnate Christ, what did it mean when it said that he took upon human flesh? Well, I believe that when we look at, now you have another slide up there? All right, see, I told you, saints, I was up late last night, driving early this morning. Is there another one that says the effects of the incarnation? There you go. There you go. All right. Now we're cooking with gas. All right. So what did Jesus do when he became a man? All right. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death on the cross. Here, Paul says that he emptied himself. He says that he took upon himself the form of a servant. He made himself of no reputation. Now, stay with me for a second, because I'm going to go a little deep. According to Elmer Towns, that word with the phrase, he made himself of no reputation, is the Greek word kenosis. And it means that he emptied himself. That when Jesus Christ became a man, he emptied himself. But what does this mean when we talk about him emptying himself? Well, it means three things. First of all, it means that he veiled his glory. That when we look at that babe in the manger, he never stopped being God. He was still God. I like the song that Dr. Jones sang last week, Sweet Little Jesus Boy. He was born in a manger and we didn't know who you was, right? Didn't know who this baby was in the manger. And so I liken the fact of the incarnation that if I have this tie on and you see this tie that I have on and I put this coat around the tie, does that mean that I stop having a tie on? The tie is still there. I've just done what? I've just wrapped my coat around it. And so when Jesus Christ became a man, he never stopped being God. What did he do? He just took flesh and what? Wrapped it around his deity. You know, if we say that he stopped being God to become a man, then he's no longer God. He never stopped being God. Jesus Christ is 100% God, 100% man. And all he did was just wrap his humanity around his glory. The second thing that we see is that when he did that, when God became a man, he submitted to the limitations of humanity. And so now, whereas he was God, he was from everlasting to everlasting, now he willfully submitted to the fact that he would get hungry. You see, in eternity, he never got hungry. He never got thirsty. He never got tired. He never got weary. He never wept. But now, since he took on humanity, he submitted himself to the flesh of humanity, and he submitted himself to all the things that humanity brings. And so when it says that he emptied himself, that's the second thing that it means. And then the third thing, he surrendered the independent use of some of his attributes. Here you have God, who knows all, who knew everything, but yet and still, he said that he didn't even know when he was going to return, and only the Father knew that. Well, did Jesus know? Yeah, he knew. He was God. But what did he do? He chose to submit his power. He chose to submit his deity to the Father. It would be just like if you were a millionaire and you decided to live in an old rundown shack, that you still are a millionaire. You never stopped being a millionaire. And all you did was submit all that you had to come and surrender the fact that you could go and do all these things that a millionaire does. And you surrendered to live in this shack. And so when we see Jesus becoming God, and it's important for us to understand that because people don't understand, you know, the average Christian doesn't even understand what I'm teaching this morning. What does this mean? What does the incarnation mean? It means that he veiled his glory with humanity. It means that he submitted to the limitations of humanity. And it means that he surrendered the use of his attributes. And this God came to live in our campground. He came to tabernacle among us. Now, why did he do this? What are some reasons that he came to live in our campground? The first thing, he came to transform the residents of the campground. He came to transform the residents of the campground. When he pitched his tent in the campground that we live, he came to change our lives. He could have did it in heaven, but he chose to come here on this earth and do it. Look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1 and verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Look at verse 9. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. When Jesus Christ came to earth, his purpose was to change our life. His purpose was to let the light of God shine on us, that we might have life. You see, we were dead in our trespasses and sin. And Jesus Christ came because he saw the deadness of our soul. He saw the deadness of our life. And he came and shone his light on it so that we might have life. I like what somebody said. If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need would have been technology, God would have sent a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, he would have sent an economist. If our greatest need would have been pleasure, he would have sent an entertainer. But our greatest need was illumination, and God sent the light of the world. We thank God that he sent the light to transform the residents of this campground. The second thing that we see as him tabernacling among us is that he came. To light up the campground in the darkness. I don't know about you, saints, but we live in a dark world. This is a dark and evil world. Man, my heart was aching yesterday when I turned on the news and I saw that this young lady who had been shot at her school, I believe it was in Colorado, that she died. Man, my heart grieved. And I just thought to myself, man, this is a wicked, cruel world. And why did Jesus come? Jesus came to bring some light in the midst of darkness. Look what it says in John chapter 1 and verse 5. It says, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That word comprehend means to overcome. That the light was shining in the darkness, and the darkness couldn't overcome it because this light is so powerful. And so even though we live in a dark, wicked, evil, sinful world, there is a light, and this light can overcome any darkness. This light can shine in places that are dim. There was a little girl who was on vacation with her family, and they went into this cavern, deep into this cavern, and the guide had one of those lanterns. And as he led them in the cavern, everybody was gathered around, and he turned the light off to the lantern, and it became pitch dark in there. You couldn't see anything. And the little girl began to cry, and she began to panic because it was so dark. And her dad said to her, "Don't worry about anything, daughter. There's somebody here who knows how to turn the light on." Saints, I got good news for you. In this dark world that we live in, there's somebody here that knows how to turn the light on. And that's why Jesus came. Jesus came to turn the light on. The third thing that we see. Why did he tabernacle among us? Why did Jesus pitch his tent among us? He pitched this tent among us to know personally what it would feel like to live in our campground. He could have just stayed in heaven, but he wanted to feel what we felt. He wanted to experience everything that we experience. And so what does he do? He steps out of heaven and he dwells among us. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. "Seeing then we have a great high priest who has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but the incarnation, but the enfleshment, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin." That everything we experienced, Jesus experienced. And he came to live on this earth. He came to be born as a baby in the manger to experience what we experience. Booker T. Washington shares one of the stories of when he was growing up and how that when they first got a shirt, it was a flax shirt. And Booker T. said that the shirt was very uncomfortable because it would scratch you and it would cause all kind of problems. And so he said that after the first couple of days, you would get used to it, and the shirt would, as a result of being worn, would feel a lot better. And he said that all of his shirts that he got was like that. And he gives the illustration. He says on one occasion that his brother, who looked at him and knew what he had to deal with, in putting the shirt on, that his brother said that he didn't want to see his brother go through that. And so his brother took the shirt and he wore it for a couple days. And after wearing it for a couple days, he gave it back to Booker T. And when Booker T put the shirt on, everything was fine. And then he goes on to say this: Jesus Christ is our elder brother. He has come alongside to take the roughness of the world on our behalf. He has put on our shirt, experienced what we experience, walked where we have walked, eased the pain of life, and he was willing to take our place and put his own suffering on his back and wear it for us. That's what the incarnation is all about, is that God wanting to identify with you, God wanting to become like you. The next thing that we see, why did Jesus pitch his tent in our campground? Because he wanted to represent the owner. You see, you would never know this owner of the campground unless Jesus came. Look at John 1 and verse 18. You would never know the owner of this campground unless Jesus came. John 1 and verse 18. It says, "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." That word declared comes from the Greek word exegete. And when you exegete, when somebody exegetes something, what do? They study it, and then they present it to somebody else. What did Jesus do? He declared the Father. That when we saw Jesus Christ, we have a picture of what the Father looks like. And so he comes down, is born in a manger, and grows up because he wants you and he wants me to see what the Father looks like. We would not know the tenderness of the Father unless we saw the tenderness of Jesus Christ and how he dealt with people. We would not know the love of the Father unless we saw Jesus Christ, who came and died on the cross that we might have eternal life. So Jesus comes so that we might see and get a picture of the Father. And then finally, we see that Jesus Christ came so that we could secure a relationship with the owner of the campground. You see, we lived in this campground, but we didn't have a relationship with the owner because of sin, because we turned our back on the owner. And so Jesus Christ has come to reconcile the residents of the campground with the owner of the campground. And when we accept him, we have this relationship renewed and restored. John chapter 1 and verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the children of God, even to those who believe on his name. Why did Jesus come? He came so that we could have a relationship with the Father. Unless he came, it would be absolutely impossible for mankind, for human beings, to have a relationship with the Father. I was sharing with some people at the Master's Kitchen the other day, a Christmas message, and I gave this illustration. It was a cold winter night, and a man was in his home. There were birds that were trying to fly through the window. They were trying to get to the place where the heat was, and they just kept bouncing off the window. And this man felt sorry for him, and he had a barn. And he opened up his barn, hoping that they would fly into the barn. But they just kept flying into the window. He said, well, maybe if I put some breadcrumbs down, that they will begin to follow the breadcrumbs and eat them and go into the barn. And they still didn't go in the barn. They just flew up against the window. And finally, he came to the conclusion, and he said this, oh, if I could just become like one of them, if I could just become a bird, then I could communicate with them. Then I could tell them where to get out of the cold. I could tell them where to get in to a warm place. Jesus Christ saw us flying, hitting our head against the wall, hitting our head against the window. He saw us frustrated. He saw us banging. He saw us doing everything that we could to try to get to the right place. And he said, oh, if I could just become one of them, I could tell them how to do it. That's what Christmas is all about. Jesus Christ becoming one of us to tell us how to get to a place.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Join us next time for the first half of Good News from Heaven. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, A Heavenly Tent in an Earthly Campground, Jesus is God in the Flesh, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request A Heavenly Tent in an Earthly Campground, Jesus is God in the Flesh. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request A Heavenly Tent in an Earthly Campground, Jesus is God in the Flesh. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.